this morning. I'm glad you did. I need to email the church, and I'll probably do that this week. I need to email you guys this week. With the schedule, it's going to be the last week in October, so not this week, but the next week. There's going to be prayer Monday at 7, Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday at 7. On Thursday, Wilbur will be here from 12 to 4. So it's just open prayer if you want to come in. And Friday, it's just worship at 7 o'clock. So if you can come, great. If you can't, that's fine. But my heart is that you would at least join us in prayer, whether you're here or not. Okay? Sometimes if you're here, it's great. But if you're not, my heart is for all of us that would be in a spirit of prayer, in a heart of prayer, joining together as a body, both corporately here, but I would say also corporately throughout really our nation. It's important that we line up that way. There's no such thing as a solo act in your walk with God. I'm going to share a little bit about that in a minute, a little bit later, but one of us can put 1,000 to flight, two of us can send legions fleeing. There's power and strength in the body, because that's how God designed us. I'm always, one of the things that grieves me the most about the body of Christ in America is the independent spirit so many have, where you don't need someone else, I can go it alone, and you can up to a point, but your ceiling is very low alone, and you might be deceived into thinking you're okay, but you're never going to top out and be what God's called you to be without the whole body of Christ. That's biblical. Amen. That's a biblical life, that's Bible. And so I want to encourage you just to join us in some way, shape, or form. But turn with me to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. Start off with Nehemiah. I had something completely different as you turn there that I was going to share this week, and I didn't feel good about it. You know, there's a pastor meme that someone sent out. I think these are hilarious, but if you watch there's a Supreme Court nominee, she had hearings this week, and someone asked her, they said, "What's on your notepad?" And it was blank. And so someone posted a meme, it was on this pastor's thing, and they said, "Me, when my wife asked me how my sermon's coming," and it's a picture of her with a blank sheet of paper, which if you've ever preached before, it's hilarious, and so that's me sometimes. And so I kind of had that going on. Frankly, I had something and it just didn't fit. And I got something in the mail and the individual was speaking and he had different points and prayer points, etc. And he just mentioned Nehemiah in there at one point on one little aspect of it. And the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart as I was reading it. So you look at the prayers of Nehemiah. And I had never studied that before, actually. Look at the prayers of Nehemiah. And I've spoken on Nehemiah before. Some of you may remember that. Some of you may not. But one of my favorite studies is the different gates. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, and he ministered 52 days. They rebuilt the gates of the city. And there's 8 different gates. And I spoke on that early on in my time here, and it's a great teaching. This is not going to be that, and it's going to be in 2 parts because there's so many prayers. But Nehemiah begins with prayer, and he ends with prayer. The whole book is coded in prayer. And his prayers are I love his prayers. Just as a quick background, and let me just say this to set this precedent as well. For the week of prayer, one thing that Nehemiah has, we'll see, he had a burden for his nation. And in full transparency, I don't always have that. I have more of a burden for the body of Christ throughout the world. But it's righteous and just to also have a burden for your nation. Jesus and his apostles spoke to nations, to disciple nations, spoke to cities. If you look in Revelation 2 through 3, what did they do? He addressed churches and areas and regions. Again, the body of Christ is just not isolated to me and a couple other people. Body of Christ is the body of Christ, and God often looks regionally, he looks nationally, and there's a few different aspects, things in our land, because Nehemiah shows a man who knew how to pray in the midst of things that weren't going so well, and 2020 has been a year, it's been one heck of a year, and it ain't over, and so we have a fun little thing coming up in a couple weeks called the election. That, you know, it's fraught for more potential
issues. And so it's important that the body of Christ prays. And I have some things. There's fear, sickness, violence. I think we need to pray for our election. The Lord's will and heart would be done, but also for all the potential issues that would arise from both sides, not political at all. Both sides are saying the other guy's going to rig it. Both sides are, okay? And when that happens, it just breeds more tension and dissent when the level's already up here. And again, the church is called to be light and salt and set a better example and to pray. And so also want to pray for church unity. And I was talking to Andrew about that on Friday. That's an issue. That's an issue. It really, really is. And I felt it strong recently, not from any of you, but in another setting. And it's something that the Lord wants to address. I believe there's going to be a great move of the Spirit in our land and the nations of the world. But that's something that really needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed in my heart and all of our hearts. And I was just praying this morning. If you go back, last week I shared something and I got some good feedback. I always like that. So when I do that, maybe it was really the Lord. Go back and listen to it if you can. It was acting in the opposite spirit and getting a burden for those I don't want to have a burden for. And some people, I was talking to Kevin, some people are hard to pray for. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Some people are hard to pray for. And so you really need the help of the Holy Spirit to really get a burden in the heart for them. And sometimes that's also the case in the body of Christ. But we need that. And it takes, as we see Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He was also a man of work. He put both faith without works is dead. And so he combined both of those. So it's been an interesting year. And it's important that as the people of God, that we are a people of prayer. And that we set our face and our hearts to prayer. And we recognize the power of prayer. I was reading a story this week, and I don't remember the missionary. He's well known, and his name slips my mind, but he was in another country, and someone told him he was ministering and praying. I think he was in India, and he was praying the Lord would save these folks. And someone said, well, the Lord's just going to save them when he saves them. And he says, I've never seen anywhere in Scripture where the Lord just does something without the prayers and intercessions of his people. God partners with us. And I think there's scenarios, I've talked about this before, how God, people don't like this phrase, God changes his mind. But when God, I'll say this better, God responds to prayers that his people offer.
Amen.
And his character never changes. He changes not. And part of his character is that he's responsive and he's relational with his people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Someone could watch, help the individual back there, Bob, trying to get in. So if you're with me in Nehemiah chapter 2, just a quick little background as well to kind of give you an update or how this goes with Nehemiah. Hello, brother. Hey. King Solomon in Israel, very peaceful kingdom. Everything was going well. Things were happy and good. It was a prosperous time. And he had a son, Rehoboam, whose outstanding characteristic wasn't very outstanding. And he forsook the counsel of his elders.
Okay.
Hello, Evan. I think he's going to go get a communion.
Yeah.
He wanted communion this morning. I have a communion in my office, so he wanted a communion. So Rehoboam was a man, just as a quick background, because he did not heed the advice of his elders, and he listened to the young counselors, he overtaxed the people, and he caused a division in the land. And so Israel split up, northern and southern. Israel was split, okay? And Assyria, the northern kingdom, was taken into captivity, 722 by Assyria. Southern kingdom was taken in captivity, 606, and really began in 586 for 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied about it as well. So the people of Israel, people of Judah, were taken to Babylon. Okay, just stay with me. This almost done with that. This might be a bit boring, but it's the history of Israel. They were taken to Babylon. Persia took over Babylon. So here we go. And you remember Cyrus issued the decree that the Jews could return to their land. So they went back under Zerubbabel. If you read the book before here, Ezra, Zerubbabel, and then Ezra led another group. And in total, 1-3% of the Israelites, which is really, I said this a few weeks ago, it's the remnant principle in the scripture. 1-3% went back. Of all the Jews, they went back. Well, Nehemiah was one who was still there in Persia, and he was a cupbearer. And so his job was not a job that I would envy or want, but he would, someone, Billy's the king, someone gives him a glass of wine, Billy's going to make me have the first sip to make sure I don't fall over dead. Okay, if I fall over dead, hey, let's bring another one in, I can't have that. So it was kind of like the Secret Service or the guards. So he had access to the king. He was a governmental person, okay? Not a job I would envy, but he still had that. And so, you okay, sweetheart? Okay. And so in Nehemiah chapter 1, I'm going to just read this, verse 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachalah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, so he was in the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. So someone came in to visit, and Nehemiah said, hey, how were the other 97%? How were the 3% who actually went? How are they doing? What's going on? What's the situation? How are my people? And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. So they're not doing well. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So things weren't going too well when Nehemiah got the report. The remnant, they were in adversity, there was calamity, there was great affliction. That sounds like folks today in our nation, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You're in great distress. There's great calamity. There's issues. There's problems. Amen. The walls were broken down. And the walls spoke of distinctiveness. It speaks of an area of safety and protection. This was a year for the first time in my life where I've had concerns at times over safety. Okay? Other people do as well in this nation. There's a safety issue. The walls are broken down. Nehemiah goes in and rebuilds those. And it also says the gates are burned with fire. And the gates represented the loss of authority in the administration. I can speak of governmental gates. So I would say that the gates are burned with fire. If you look politically, we don't get inspired with that much confidence either as well. Seems like the gates are burned with fire. It's an apt description of what we see in our land today. Okay? So Nehemiah gets this report. Okay? And he makes this statement. He said, So it was, this is in verse 4, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept. He had a burden for his nation. He had a burden for his people who were in turmoil. So actually, before I go further, before we have our week of prayer, some of you do have a great burden for the nation. I know you are, I hear you. And some of us, like I said, in transparency, my greatest burden is for my family, this church, and actually the church at large. I love the church, the body of Christ in the world. That's where my heart is. I'm a pastor. But I say, Lord, I want a burden for our nation. I want a burden for our nation. Just like I talked about last week, I want a burden for the people of our nation. I talked about last week. Leaders. I want a burden for leaders. Amen? Amen. And he says this, I sat down and I wept. And just to affirm you, because I heard you this morning and you were crying, and you do that some, and that's God. That's the Lord.
Well, tomorrow will be my 17 years of being,
amen,
being saved, so.
Happy birthday, a day early. And I do that too. And I remember being somewhere and said, why I get the weeps. And someone told me this, it's the gift of tears. You have the gift of tears. Amen. It's an aspect of intercession and prayer. If you read Jeremiah, if you're doing our Bible reading with us, we're in the prophet Jeremiah right now, Jeremiah 9. I thought all that in my head were a bucket of tears. He was known as the weeping prophet. Sometimes when a burden comes on you or the Spirit of God comes upon you, I'm just affirming you with this. Because I used to do this a lot. You're just going to think, what's going on with me? You start weeping. It's the gift of tears. It's an aspect of prayer. The Spirit of God comes upon you. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. And so he sat down and he wept. I sat down and wept. And he mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So I have a few different... First of all, the first prayer is a long one. And I'm not going to go through all of it. I just have a few points. The first thing he did was he fasted. He wept and then he fasted. And if you go over in Esther... Remember when Pastor Dan was here a few weeks ago? If you did not hear that, I would encourage you to go and back and listen to that. But what did Esther do when she was going to go in before the king when the life of her nation was held in the balance? In Esther chapter 4, she said, "Go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me." They fasted 3 days, all the Jews. So what did she say? Not just, "Hey, Billy, you do it." Gather all of them. There's a corporate aspect of that. Amen?
Amen.
Corporate. It was corporate. Okay? In Ezra, there's a in Ezra chapter 8, you call that a problem-solving fast. When they didn't know the way to go, they didn't know the direction to take. What did Ezra do? He said, he called a fast. He proclaimed a fast. And he said, so we fasted and entreated our God for this. Not just I did. We did. Corporate aspect to it. Not just one. It was the whole group. One of my favorite stories is Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. When before they had the victory over Moab and Ammon, and I'm going to talk about this next week, but they also worshipped, and God did warfare through worship. But he says, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout, not just for him, but throughout all of Judah. It was corporate. So what's the pattern there? Daniel did it as well, and that was an individual one. And there was great warfare in his nation. He had been reading the prophet in Daniel 9. I'm going to turn there later for something else. He'd been reading Jeremiah, and he was burdened. And so he did, that's where we get the term the Daniel fast. The 21 is the Daniel fast. And he did a Daniel fast, or fasted 21 days, and there's great things in there about Archangel Michael and Gabriel, because there was spiritual warfare going on. It's a mystery. I don't understand that. It makes sense. Jesus fasted before he went out to ministry. He was endued with power as he did that. There's something unique about corporate fast. And what I want to say to you is I want to implore you in that way to do that, just as Nehemiah did for his people. And that doesn't mean you have to... You do what you do before the Lord, however God speaks to you. If it's one meal for the week, God is greatly pleased with that. Mm-hmm. Something I when I used to work in Norwich, I would take time and I would, on my lunch break, I would just go, I'm going to fast lunch today. Go sit in my car and pray in my car. And I went to a lady I knew from Nigeria. Her name was Mary. She had a special grace for fasting. She fasted all the time. I don't know how she did it. But she would always say something. So she said, fasting without prayer is a hunger strike. No one wants to go on a hunger strike. I don't. And you don't either. So when you do it, just say, Lord, I offer myself. I'm gonna take Wednesday for lunch that week. And Lord, I'm going to go out to my car on my lunch break or whenever. And I'm just going to give that time to you. Myself. I don't understand it, but it's releasing. Someone says it's leaving our earthbound here and ascending towards heaven. It activates the spirit. Okay? If you've never done it before, take a day. Do however the Lord leads you. But I want to encourage you just as a corporate thing. Don't tell someone else what you're doing, but take a time in a couple weeks and say whether it's 5 days or one meal. And if you have health issues and you can't do it, well, fast. Social media. Lord knows we could all use that. Okay? But do something where I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to put aside my fleshly appetites and activate my spiritual appetites. Lord, I want to, the way my belly hungers, I want to hunger for you. And I'm crying out for you. And I'm reaching out to you. Amen?
Amen.
There's power in that. I don't understand it. I've never explained anyone who can. One more point on that. I love the body of Christ. It means I love hearing different people and what God's done in them. And there's a book I have. It's a man by the name of Mahesh Chavda. And it's the only book on fasting I've ever read that makes me want to fast. The only one. And God gave him, and let me just say this too. God gave him extreme fasting. And he says in the book, you're probably not called to do what I'm doing. But God took me in an extreme measure on so I could teach on it. And he says, whether you just do it for a day or do whatever he did, obedience is better than sacrifice. God's looking at the condition of your heart. Amen? It's not a competition. What's your heart? What's God says to you? So I say, Lord, how do you want me to fast? What do you want me to do? It's just one day. I'm just imploring you imploring you in the Lord to take some time that week to do it with the intention of lifting up and praying for our nation. Because at the end of the day, what do we want our nation to be? I want my nation to be a place where God is honored, the gospel can freely be preached here, and that we can freely take the gospel to the nations of the world, because our land has historically done that. We take aid to people, we take the gospel to people, and we need to keep doing that. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to encourage you in doing that, okay? And he goes on in here, and he says, and go back to Nehemiah. I'm praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. I shared something else here that I felt was very important. This was back in July. I had to go back and look at it, but it was on the character of God in light of all the prophetic words that come out. And I looked at Exodus 34, chapter 6. And I'm actually just going to read that to you. And the Lord God passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. It's always important when we pray that first and foremost we understand the character of God. And we pray according to his character and his nature. And he talks here about, Lord, that he is full of mercy. God has mercy. And first he acknowledges, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. We do this here, and I always try to share it with you. When we have prayer on Tuesdays, we start with worship, and we don't just do it just to fill up space. We don't just do it for the fun of it. We do it because I believe there's a principle in the Scripture, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. As Derek Prince said, I think it was Derek Prince, if God gives me 10 minutes to pray, I'm going to take 8 minutes to worship, because I'll get a lot more praying done in 2 minutes if I first say, God, you're amazing. This is who you are. This is your character. This is your nature. God is good. It flows better. It's just, it kind of gets you in that place with him. And so it's very important as we pray that we also recognize, Lord, claim who you are. One aspect of that message, that's one I would encourage you to go back to listen to, is that God is merciful. And he's merciful to our land. He's merciful to the people in our land. He's merciful to those that we don't like, that we're not in favor of. He's merciful. He has mercy towards them. And I was always remembering when the sons of thunder, they want to call fire down. And Jesus says, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. The Son of Man not come to destroy, but to seek and save the lost. He's full of mercy. Yeah. And so our first prayer for everyone always, Lord, have mercy. Lord, you're good. You're gracious. You're gracious. Lord, you're long-suffering. If you read in Jeremiah, like we're doing in our Bible reading, I'm struck at how patient and long-suffering the Lord is. God is. I really am. I don't have long suffering or patience for 2 minutes sometimes. He is full of long suffering. And it's the point that when I pray, I get that burden for everyone. Lord, you're merciful towards them. Lord, you're gracious towards them. Lord, you're long-suffering towards our nation and towards our land. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you extend your mercy. You extend your merciful, your graciousness. You extend your long-suffering. Lord, I know you don't let off iniquity go scot-free. We'll get to that in just a minute. But Lord, we ask for an extension of mercy. It's important that we have that heart. That's the character of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, verse 6. Please let your ear be attentive. Excuse me. Yes. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I set before you now. Let me just say, through the blood of Jesus, we have access to boldly enter into the throne of God, Hebrews tells us. Amen?
Amen.
So when you pray, as I said this too, I come to Jesus through the blood, and I keep coming to him through the blood. And oftentimes I come to him through the blood, and then I've had a bad day, so I can't pray today. I messed up a couple hours ago. Say, Lord, thank you. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm your child. I have access to the throne of grace, and I can approach you, and I can pray. I can ask and I can petition because of Jesus and his sacrifice for me. That's foundational Christianity, but all of us at times forget that. And I've done it myself. And there's times the Lord says, hey, Clay, you know, you need to repent about something. If you come before me, but I'm not real pleased with it, that's fine, but it doesn't stop your ability to pray. Amen?
Yes.
So you can pray. But in verse 6, it says, again, there's an acknowledgement of sin. It says, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Not they have sinned against you, but we have sinned against you. That's a principle in Scripture as well. All the way back to Moses. You look to Jesus. There's a principle. Did I go out, Bob? Make sure. Did I go out? Am I still on? I'm on? Okay. I heard it pop. There's a principle throughout Scripture. It's not they sin, but we sin. And when we pray for our nation, when we pray for everything happening in the world, it is important that we take part of intercession. And again, I'm not an intercessor, but I can intercede, is there's an identification process that happens. Jesus identified with us fully, right? He's the great high priest. Mm-hmm. There's an identification. Reese Howell, I mentioned that book sometimes. He went to great lengths. When God would put someone on his heart, he would go to great lengths, even in his lifestyle, to identify with that person's life. He increased his birth. There's an identification that comes. So it's not when I pray, Lord, what they're doing. We are the nation. We're a nation. Lord, our sins, what we have done. Okay? When Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9, and this was, he was praying over the sins of Israel in their 7-year captivity. It's very similar, 9 verse 3. He says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made a confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. That sounds a whole lot like Nehemiah, doesn't it? It's in Daniel chapter 9. Two great men of God, same principle. He says, we have sinned. Now, Daniel was a man with an excellent spirit. He kept himself pure and clean. I'm sure he's messed up on occasion, but he didn't say, Lord, they sinned. He said, Lord, we have sinned. If you go into Romans, I've preached on this before, how Paul identifies us within Adam as the human race. Because in the context of things, we're not just individuals. We're a collection of individuals. I'm an individual, but we're a collection of individuals. Amen. And there's an aspect of we're all, Lord, I'm here, and this is my land, and I give an account for how I, as a child of God, how I prayed, how I acted, how I interceded, how I sought your face for the environment, land, the nation, and the time that you called me to and put me in. Amen?
Amen.
Again, what if Reese Howells hadn't done what he did in World War II? I mention him again. And give account. What did you do in this time I put you in? Amen. So that's important that we take ownership of that. There's more association with sin in verse 7. He says again, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Again, not they. So I want to say when we pray, when you pray on the week of prayer, and I have to watch my heart too, say it's the national sin of abortion. They've done it, Lord. No. Lord, forgive us because we have allowed this in our land. Lord, we have this going on. Any issue you want to put, however that is, Lord, we have done it. And Lord, we come before you as the people of God, as the what? The royal priesthood. And we can go in and say, we take identification with the sins of the land you've called us to. And we're going to pray and intercede, Lord, that you would grant additional mercy, long suffering, patience, kindness, and that your grace would flow through the land. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus did this. I'll just read a couple of verses and I'm going to wrap up. It says in Isaiah 53:12, he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus was perfect in all our way, in all of his ways, but he was numbered with the transgressors. 1 Peter says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Again, there's an identification there. I love in Philippians, it says, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to death on the cross. So we ask for mercy for God in prayer as citizens. We're citizens of heaven, right? We have dual citizenship because we're also here in this earth. So Lord, as citizens of heaven, Lord, we do pray, Lord, that your kingdom come, will be done on earth as in heaven, that your purpose would be established in the land. Amen?
Amen.
Two more quick points, and I'll be quick with these. And you might like this one better. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. I love this verse. I always have. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. His face was burdened. He was sad. You know, he was coming in before the king, and you know, Billy's the king. What's wrong with you? You're not happy. I'm going to have to replace you. So you think on his feet. And he said, then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, prayed before he spoke and while he spoke. He lived in prayer. I don't think he took 5 weeks to say, well, you know what? You've asked me. I need to go pray about it for 5 weeks. He lived in a state of prayer. And there's a quick prayer. Amen. Big doors can swing on small hinges, and big answers can come on small prayers. Okay? Sometimes you don't have to agonize. I need to pray about this for 21 days before I can do something. If I live in a state of prayer, sometimes you do, okay, I'm not against that, sometimes you do, but if you live in a state, in a condition of prayer, I don't have to agonize all the time. If you've never done that in a conversation, I've had people talking before, it's like, Lord, I don't know what to say, help me, I'm praying as they're talking to me, and the Lord will give me an answer. I live in prayer. Before he spoke, while he spoke, and after he spoke. You can have short prayers that are effective. You can be throughout the day on the week of prayer. I don't have any to give, but Lord, have mercy on our land. Lord, I pray for this person. I've said it before, and I'll say it again because it's true. I've heard prayers that stretch from here to San Francisco that don't get above the ceiling. And I've heard prayers, oh God, that just move the heart of the king. It's your heart. And sometimes all you've got to give, Lord, have mercy on this person. Lord, help our election process. Lord, change the hearts of those who are riding in the streets. Simple prayer. Maybe you have a prayer from here from San Francisco and God's given that to you and you need to do it. I'm not opposed to that either. I'm just giving you a principle here. It's either all or nothing sometimes. You can operate both ways. I can have long, drawn-out prayers and I can have very, very short prayers. That move the heart of the king, but involves me living in a state of prayer. Okay? In a state of prayer, Lord,
you know, there's a guy, I don't remember his name, but to do this, he would put a rubber band around his wrist and flick his rubber band. Or he had an alarm on his clock, and every so often he would have an alarm, I need to pray. And it's just, Lord, I love you. Lord, take care of this. Watch this. Simple, short prayers. Because if you're working, like I work, you have the day, some of you, you don't have time to, boss, I need to take 30 minutes and go pray and be with the Lord. You can't do that, all right? You'll be getting the pink slip. But you can be at your desk on the way to the bathroom. Lord, take care of this, please. Lord, watch this. Look over this. That's very, very meaningful to God. Amen?
Amen.
So do the week of prayer, how you engage. That short prayer is just as meaningful as you're coming in here and you know, praying for an hour. Okay? And I'm sincere when I say that to you. Okay? So have that heart as well. And this is my last point, and I'll finish the rest of them next week. But there's several verses like this. But in Nehemiah chapter 4, we can pray for God to deal righteously with wickedness. That's biblical. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Sometimes we feel like we're despised too as believers in this land. That happens. Amen? I welcome that. It means we're on a good path. We are despised because what was happening is they were building the wall. If you're familiar with this book, they were getting ridiculed. They were having conspiracies done. They were trying to be tricked. They were doing everything in the book to stop the work of God. That sounds like today too, right?
Yeah.
We're doing the work of God, and you know, Sanballat and Tobiah, they're doing everything in their power to stop it.
Yeah.
That's a great picture, okay? So we are despised. Praying, God, we're despised. Another aspect to pray. Pray for the church to be able to flourish and be free to fulfill our mission and destiny on this earth. Amen?
Yeah.
That's another important thing to pray. Hear, O God, if we are despised, turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Okay? In chapter 6, verse 14, it says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Nobiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. So Nehemiah was saying, first of all, don't stop the work God's called you to do. One thing Nehemiah never did, he never stopped. He never said, man, Billy's giving me a hard time. I'm going to pack it in and hang it up for the day. He didn't do that. You continue. He kept going, but he also prayed, I'm going to keep working. Lord, I'm going to ask you to deal with Billy over here. He's giving me a hard time. He's trying to stop your mission. And if you're trying to stop God's mission, if I'm doing what God's called me to do and you're trying to stop me, you're coming against the Lord.
Amen.
That might seem strong, but it's true. There's other passages. Moses prayed this prayer. Moses prayed this. Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. In Psalm 139, the beautiful chapter we all love, we don't like to read at the end, but it says, the psalmist says this, oh, that you would slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred, and they become my enemies. Throughout the scripture, there's a principle. You can pray, but just as I said, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. I preached on that last week. For vengeance is what? Mine, says the Lord.
Amen.
So, Billy's coming against me, stopping the work of God. So it's right to pray, Lord, I pray that you stop him through changing his heart.
Amen.
It's not my job to pull a sword on him, but as sons of God, daughters of God, it's transformation. Lord, stop him by changing his heart. Lord, he's stopping your work. You deal with him. I can't in my flesh. It's never going to work. You ever try talking to someone just naturally who has an axe to grind against your walk with the Lord? It doesn't go very well most of the time. Lord, you deal with it. You, biblical principle for it. Lord, I'm closing with this. When you pray, deal with this. Lord, expose what's happening in our land. Lord, if there's anything that's not proper before you, Lord, I ask that you would expose it and you would deal with those who are doing it.
Amen.
Lord, if there's someone, I would say this for the slaughtering of the unborn is on my heart. Lord, I ask that you would expose those organizations for their heart and what they are, and that you change their hearts, Lord.
whatever is coming, if someone's coming against any aspect of your life, Lord, you deal with it. I'm going to keep doing what you've commissioned me to do, but I'm going to turn them in prayer over to you for you to deal with righteously. That's a righteous and a godly way to pray. It's biblical, and Nehemiah did it throughout that book. Amen.
Amen.
I have more points of this. Again, I'm not going to be here for another 45 minutes if I got through it. I'm not going to do it. We'll do it next week. If you're not here next week, I'll encourage you to listen. But I want to gear us up because I do believe corporately, whether you're here in person on those days or not, be at home, be on the job, be in your car, and join in your heart to pray for our land. You're home watching. Do the same thing. And take these, I'm going to review these, but take these principles and these prayers of Nehemiah when there was turmoil with the people in his land and he got a burden for his nation and God called him to step up to work and to intercede and to pray. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for this people. Lord, I thank you that these are mighty people.